everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's like episode 94. What do we call it? It's the Geeksters, right? We're at PodNuts. It's me. It's Mitch. We're just hanging out. We got no Martin. We got no Fred.
Good. I don't have to do the intro. You just did it.
No,
thank you.
I mean, oh, wait. You weren't. Well, I guess we didn't decide who was going to do it. You know what?
You did it.
So here we are. This is going to be the coffee chat episode of the Geeksters. Very informal episode of this one because at the last minute, Martin said, I cannot do this. I am sick. So, hey, sick. Martin, we want you to get better, buddy. I'm sure this is a passing thing. Is he working on a little life change thing kind of going on here, Mitch? Has he got something in the works? I thought I heard something. Does he have like a stress level thing going, or you think this is just like a...
Martin, he's got a lot of things going on.
You don't think it's like a stress kind of, or you think he's just sick? I don't know. I didn't talk to him.
I don't know. Not sure. Because he was all ready to do the show, and then the next thing you know, you can't make it, you know.
Martin,
But he's running. I don't know how much you run around because you did.
I don't run. I can't. I don't walk to the mailbox if I don't have to.
Well, you know, he does a lot of traveling. You know, he's on site IT guy and a lot of traveling.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, he really is. Anybody that listens to the show, I think he puts more into the show. Prepping and the stuff and the research and everything that he brings, it's like my honor to work with him. I'll be going on. It sounds like he's dead. He's not dead. He'll be back next week, folks. But he's just not well. He's sick. And but yeah, man, that guy goes and goes and goes. So anyway, but we were just kind of shooting the breeze here. Of course, now I forgot what we were even talking. What were we getting into there, Mitch? What are we talking about?
Well, what did you do this week? You know, I'm just an enthusiast, and I don't have it. I'm too tired to do anything most of the time.
Yeah. We were talking we were talking about that crazy show where y'all found me, and it's over there at the. I think I clicked on an accent the other day. I ended up at the Unbootables page, and
it's right there in the front. How we met Tim.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just put that up like, what, two months ago?
I'm like stunned. I'm like, what is this? What am I looking at? Because I was on that show like a year and a half ago. I was...
Episode 11.
It was 11?
Yeah, I start off the podcast like, hey guys, people, you know, I've been getting a lot of requests on how we met Tim. And I picked it up with you calling up on Skype, you know. See, we thought you were another Tim, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was just a misunderstanding. I was like amazed. I'm like,
you could have not scripted anything better than that.
It was actually, you know what, the thing is that, I was uncomfortable because I'd never done anything like that before. I'm now like on this thing. With these guys, I listened to him for years. I mean, it's Steve D'Amico, I love this guy. He wasn't like a guy who just like did stuff like your neighbor. I mean, this was like, he was the same as anybody that you listen to on the radio, you see on TV. It's somebody that just seems out of reach or just a personality. And so was Liam. All these people, they were, and Mitch, they were personalities. And so I just kind of like found myself like in the middle of all this all of a sudden. It was very bizarre. It was very, very bizarre. And then it turned out that it was all just a big understand that I was, well, you have to listen to it. And so, but anyway, I was like blown away. I'm on the front, look at the front page of this. I said, I'm looking like there's like three or four, maybe five episodes, whatever that you can click to take you to an episode. I'm like, why on earth is my episode? Like there's a direct link to it. And yeah, that's insane. Is insane. I would really hate to think that. It was funny to listen back to it. At the time, it was kind of a strange ride, but that people actually want to hear that episode, and I think that's pretty good. It was very, very funny to listen for me now. Listen back to it, but Mitch is telling me that wasn't just the episode. The thing you click is you tell them you had requests, right? And so you went through, cut it up, and
I found it because you're pretty good at remember what episode was what.
And well, that's because I'm a narcissist.
Yeah, I found it. And,
oh gosh,
I mean, some of the stuff that was on there, like then Liam goes in his boxers or briefs. What the heck was that? Boxers or briefs. I thought that was.
It was it was his like
neither.
Five, that was his
neither.
That was his five questions, and I was so it.
But the thing is, and I said it in the podcast. You've been a staple since on the Geeksters, and even on Unbootables too,
because
you were on there for a long time.
I did Unbootables for I don't know how long it was, and a long time. I had a terrible, terrible amount of fun doing that. Some of those episodes, I really feel that. I mean, because we would just show up and just, this is what I brought. We would just go through it. You know, listening back through some of those, there were several that, especially right around the Halloween episode, the ones leading up to it, the Halloween episode, I think, and some of the ones after it, I think I really felt that, even in the moment, but also listening back, I really felt like they were as good or better than a lot of professional entertainment, you know, listening to the morning DJs or whatever, but the stuff you see on the late night shows. I mean, some of the stuff that we brought and somehow we really gelled, and some of those episodes start to finish were absolutely, they really were just fantastic. So, I don't want to talk that show up too much.
I'm on, it's on hiatus now for, because of, you know, my sleep doctor,
well, that's right, on his schedules.
So I got an appointment with him tomorrow, and it's not how, you know, I'm pretty much on the schedule. I'm still feel like blah, still feel.
Are you?
So, yeah. They're going to schedule a sleep test. And I don't know if you know where I stay every night. They put all the probes.
Absolutely.
And hopefully they can find a setting they can put in my CPAP machine that may work. But the thing is, I mean, I don't sleep enough. Number one, okay. I mean, I'll wake up, I'll get, you know, my arms fall asleep. You know, and that will wake me up for whatever reason. And maybe my dog might jump on me. She might wake me up.
Okay. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. You know, go get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I can't get back to sleep. So it's more than just a CPAP, you know, but I definitely have, problems getting oxygen when I'm in that deep sleep. Sure. So it's not into my brain. So it's not good, but maybe they'll figure something out. I hope. Anyway,
but you know, speaking of that, my buddy, really good friend of mine, he's dealing with I'm pushing 40. He's right around the same age. There's days I feel old, but there's other days I feel older than I should because of like the people around me that are the same age that are dealing with stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrible thing to say, but I mean, you look at people, it's like my same age as me. It's my buddy, but he's like, he's got like old man stuff, and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? For example, now I say old man stuff, I'm thinking like the stuff my grandfather would have dealt with. My buddy has a kidney stone. You ever deal with any of that kind of stuff?
I had one kidney stone, but I had stones in my gallbladder. I had to have my gallbladder taken out.
Oh goodness.
Then while in the hospital, I got blood clots in my lungs.
Did you really? Oh my.
Yeah. Well, I went up from being like a 3 or 4 hour stay to being eight days.
How many?
And 8 days in the hospital. And luckily they found it there, or if I would have come home, you know, I could have died. Because they discover that you have a blood clot, they give you, I forgot what it was, you know, stuff to thin it out.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't, I mean, people have had that problem before, you know, leaving home from a surgeon, they get blood clots and they don't make it, they die. So luckily they caught it while it was still there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what that is too. My wife had
heparin
there
or something.
That's heparin. That's exactly.
And
what
then
it is.
Coumadin. I took in pills when I got out of the hospital.
Yeah, the heparin. That's right. The heparin's what they use in the hospital to really, really accelerate that process of breaking that clot down. Because the where the clot is, it breaks loose and goes to your heart,
your brain,
your lung.
Yep. It was in my lung at that time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And boy, that thing breaks loose and it goes down the pipes and ends up, where it doesn't belong. You're talking about,
See you
you're
later.
Talking, yeah, you're talking about very, very fast death. Very soon between now and then, it's coming on. Stroke.
See, the thing is, with these surgeries today, they do a laparoscopic.
Okay.
Oh, I said that kind of right.
Yeah.
But anyway, but they had trouble with mine, so they had to cut me open.
I see.
So, and they had to put a drain in there. So that's why I wasn't going to go home the same day. It was a Wednesday. So Friday, they're going to let me go. Mm-hmm. So they're going to pull this hose out of me, and they gave me a little bit of morphine. You know, it was in a drain, you know, where they pull the hose out. I call it a hose.
Yeah.
Then like a couple minutes later, I'm getting dizzy, man. I'm like getting out of breath.
Yeah.
And I have this panic button. So I hit that. And then that's why they ordered the, this CAT scan, MR, whatever it was.
Yeah.
First they did my legs. I forgot what it's called. A sonogram on my legs. I didn't show anything there, but then they did a CAT scan, and you know, I'm in a gurney and they're trying to get me off the gurney to the machine that does a CAT scan.
Sure.
I was so out of breath. It took me like 25 minutes to get from, I mean, I couldn't move, you know, it was just so bad.
Right.
But, but then when they saw the blood clots in, they immediately started giving me that heparin, and you feel better almost right away. I mean, you start catching your breath. And
interesting.
So, but they wouldn't let me see. I think my problem was because they put that drain in, I stayed in bed. I didn't try to walk around,
okay,
which is probably real bad, you know, after a surgery. And, I think that kind of contributed to it. Cause I said, I'll just, you know, I wouldn't even go to the bathroom. Then, not that I went in bed or anything, right, you know, but I mean, they had, you know, had a little.
Well, but I mean, the thing is that this isn't like real life. And when you go in the hospital, you don't make assumptions about things that you should do. If you should be getting up and moving around, you kind of expect somebody to tell you you should be getting up and moving around. I don't you know,
I cannot remember anybody telling me to get up and move around.
Yeah, see,
but I should have.
Well, but how would you know that? So if I go in and I'm having done surgery and there's a bed, it's not like they tell me to sit in the chair or whatever, stand, you know, I'm in the bed. And so I'm not getting out of bed unless somebody says you really need to be getting up and moving around.
My wife will swear she'll say that they did tell me to get up and walk around, but I'll say they didn't, but I can't remember, but I made it.
Well, see whose side she's on, the doctor.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think she's telling you the truth, because if she had said that they told you to get up and walk around, then she would have been nagging you that day to get up and walk around. That you would remember. Uh-oh. So I don't know.
Oh, you're back.
My back.
You froze for a second.
I told a lie.
You did?
That's what happened. Yeah.
About what?
Well, that's why my video froze. It's a self censor. It's like a new Google feature.
I gotcha.
So
anyway,
yeah, anywho,
let's talk about medical stuff. That's, and
well, you know what? There's a lot of technology in the all that. The one thing I was thinking about, not the kids at the science center down in Pittsburgh. There's the thing you stand in front of, and there's a it kind of like images the heat. So like, you know, your fingertips would be like maybe a bluer color as opposed to you know, around your eyes or something, like be a bright orange, yellow. I don't know. I'm making this up. I have no idea. But
like an MRI.
Yeah, but it kind of like, but you see like this image of like your heat, almost like when they bring the thing and they look at your house and it shows all the heat blowing around out the windows. And my wife, she had it was a deep vein thrombosis she had in her left leg, in the calf. And the symptoms were, it just started like, it felt tight, like the muscle was tight. And every day it got tighter and tighter. And this thing started to get like, it started to swell a little bit, but not like swollen. I mean, like you would touch it and it would be like as hard as this desk, her whole like calf. And I said, what on earth is this? We were on vacation, camping in the Outer Banks. So we rushed back. I had no idea what that was. I was a kid. She didn't know. We come back and they said, we got to get you to the hospital. So we take her to the hospital. And they said, well, we have to take, like, right now, we're putting you to bed. They started to have the whole deal. And it was an extremely serious issue. Who knows? I mean, if the clot had broke loose. So she was there for days. And
yeah, a lot of women, they can't take birth control pills for that reason, though, because of blood clots. I mean, I don't know why some women are like that and some aren't, but
I
remember dating some women years ago and they couldn't take it.
Yeah, it was so so that was quite a process of being in the hospital, breaking the clot down, and then, you know, for years after that, she was taking the Coumadin, had to be tested. Oh my gosh, several times weekly at first, and
It's when they weren't going to let me come home.
Yeah,
but it's like 2 days before Christmas, I'm going to walk out.
Yeah,
and the only way they would let me come home is if I had to administer, or somebody had to give me shots in my stomach twice a day for that heparin. So I said, okay, I can do it. And the nurse is, or whoever, she's trying to show me how to do it. And I said, oh, I can't do it. But my wife stepped in. I'll be able to do it. But meantime, so she was doing it. But I had to go down to the clinic every day to get my blood checked. Finally, after, I think it was 6 days, my levels were where they wanted them.
Okay.
And it only lasted 6 days after I got home, getting the shots in my stomach. So, but I stayed on a Coumadin for 6 months. But my doctor, or, you know, when you have these blood clots, you're seeing, you know, all kinds of doctors trying to figure out why you have blood clots.
Right.
So, you know, I went to a cancer doctor, and he wanted me to stay on the Coumadin for 2 years.
Yeah.
But my family doctor said, nah, 6 months is enough. You don't need to be on it longer than that. So. Interesting.
My wife was on it for years. She was going, I think when they finally got it dialed in, she was going, I think, every 2 weeks to be tested. I think that's about right, but there for the longest while, that we really believed that she was going to be doing this for the rest of her life. So, I tell you, she was on it for years. I mean, 2 or 3 years, I want to say. But when they finally did get to the point where they said she did not have to take it anymore, that was, what a relief, because that's a ball and chain.
That's dangerous too. You got to be careful of that, of not having, cutting yourself because you could bleed to death because it thins your blood out.
That's right.
And then I think my father-in-law, who I never met, he's been going since before I met my wife. But I think her father died of, he had a hemorrhage in his brain. I forget what they call it. From being on medicine, it was too, you know, thin in his blood and it bursted. I forgot what they call that. But anyway,
you tend to bruise pretty badly. Yeah. It usually looks a lot worse than it is, but anyway, even after now, after all these years, that was, goodness gracious, that was 13, 14 years ago. You know, even now there was some physiological change in her leg or something that even now she stands in front of that heat imaging thing down at the Kids Science Center. You will see where that leg is. It's a far different color than her other leg, where the blood is just, I don't know, if it's just pumped differently, it pipes or something. It's closer to the skin. I have no idea, but I'd be curious what that's all about. So, who knows? If she was here, she'd tell you she's broken 6 ways from Sunday. So, we're not gonna focus on one over the other. You're still doing the sleep thing. What kind of what kind of adjustments do they make to that machine, that CPAP machine? Is it
pressure? They can, you know, enhance, but it just blows air in my throat, my mouth. The pressure. They have it locked down where I can't do it unless I reset the machine, okay. Which I found out how to do it, but I don't want to do it. I found on YouTube how to do it.
Hack your health.
But right. But
bad idea.
Because there's a card in there they can read. They can see how much I'm using it.
Custom, you know, ROM.
Yeah. It's like my level is on 7 right now, whatever that is. But it's CPAP stands for continuous airflow or something like that. Continuous, whatever, you look it up, it's there. But
I use it all. I don't know what that stands for.
Continuous positive airflow, something like that. But you know, I use it all the time. But it just has. I mean, there's people I know that swear to it. I think you remember, Russ, you met down there at OLF, Detective Yeek. I think he said he's on it, and he said his works great. He has no problem. I mean, he can't live without his, but it works, and he's always refreshed. See, I've never felt that way. I feel like when I first get up in the morning, but after 3 hours, you don't want to, let's put it this way, you don't want to get in front of me when I'm on my fourth truck at work after like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh gosh, Mitch, you kill me, man. You start whenever I hear you Anything that you say that involves a fork truck, it always it always leads to hilarity.
I mean, I catch myself, bobbing my head and stuff like that, But but it's bad though. But I'm always all right for the first couple 3 hours, and after that, I'm like dead. And especially when I get home from work.
Yeah.
If I had small kids, there's no way I could do anything with them. Like my doctor doesn't want me napping, for these 3 weeks. I've been trying to stay on a schedule. And it's way easier than said and done. So, anyway.
That thing regulates, you said pressure. I mean, but it also alters how often it does it, or does it just sense when you need it, just bam?
Well, mine's it's got a humidifier in there, which I haven't been using the last week because I've been sucking in water. I think I got to lower it down on the floor. I just finally cleaned it after like 5 years. You're supposed to clean it like once a week. And I think I finally cleaned it. No, it's not like sucking in water works. It was drops.
You didn't find anything there that would actually be leading to all these other problems.
No. It was not bad at all, really. Really, it still wasn't that dirty. But I finally cleaned it. Nah.
Does it have a cord that you just, like the starter lawnmower? Does it have a cord you pull on the side? Is it one of those old ones?
Yes, and I don't have to mix oil with it.
You have to mix the oil? You know what? If I come to your house and see, like, a leaf blower above your bed, I want to meet your doctor because you're going to the wrong guy.
Leaf blower.
Is this a guy, are you going to a guy in an alley?
I'm going to a fourth different sleep doctor, my fourth different one, because they're not helping. Wow. Well, the one doctor, he was putting me on stuff to help me stay up and stuff, medicine or narcotics to help me go to sleep. And then I felt like, The Walking Dead, episode 58, or something like that. It didn't feel good at all. No, too many side effects. I mean, Ambien, you probably heard of Ambien, that's an awful drug. I mean, side effects. I mean, people sleepwalk in that. I mean, I wasn't doing that, but the crazy dreams. Then he was giving me this other drug to stay up called Provigil, which is, I think, a narcotic whatever it is. A lot of pals take that to stay up. And it was just made me feel really weird.
In the chat, a CPAP machine. It's had a cell modem. Is that to read? That'd be just sending information.
Mine has a card. Well, mine has a card in it. They would have to read the card. Imagine they can read theirs immediately, unless he's just kidding. But they just did a test on me. They read it recently, and they could see when I'm in a lot of time when I'm in my deep sleep, I get the real low levels of oxygen. Because when you're real relaxed, that's when my throat relaxes and you actually stop breathing with CPAP. And but then your brain will trigger you to wake yourself up and start breathing. Hopefully. So
yeah, that's one of the good. It's an involuntary process. There are certain processes in your body that should be involuntary. It's a good thing that you don't have to remember to breathe. I know people who would die if they had to remember to breathe. Like if you had to remember for your heart to beat. I know people who would they wouldn't last a month.
But being overweight.
No comment.
Being overweight is not good.
I think we know that. We both know that guy. Anyway.
Yeah. Being overweight does not help any.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
But when my son got married 4 years ago, I was down like 50 pounds from where I'm at now. And I still felt terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even help when I was thin. But some people lose weight, it helps them, but it didn't help me. But I still want to try to lose weight, despite the two donuts I had and the and the all the cookies at work I had today. And but I still want to lose weight.
You're on that tow motor, just slaloming through empty donut boxes.
No, you can't. No food out in the warehouse.
Well, they're empty boxes.
You'll get farred. You get farred.
You get
farred. Sure.
You get farred from driving tow motor.
Yeah, and I've been there 39 years. I don't want to ruin my record.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I just put it in my pocket. They don't see it. But anyway, go. Pretzels.
You know what? Well, I'm not gonna say that. You get to your age, you have to drink it anyway. So, can you have a drink on the floor?
No, you got to stick it up. Oh, never mind. I'm not gonna say that.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
I think we can have water on the floor. That's the only thing. We can have. Yeah.
Well,
but it's gonna freeze now. if you take water out there, because we work in a warehouse. It's an a million square foot building unheated. It's got heat in it, but you might as well say you can't feel it. It's like 30 feet in the ceiling. Yeah. Your outfall heat rises. They got blowers, but it doesn't do much.
Talking five degrees over ambient, I would imagine.
Nah, I mean, it's getting cold now, and it won't get warm until June. Yeah. Even though we'll have the concrete, it just takes in the cold. Absolutely. But it has been really that cold, but I think it's going to, in the next week, it's going to start getting real cold, so. But I dress warm for it.
Yeah, it's that time. Jimmy, Christmas is almost Thanksgiving. I mean, yeah. Holy cow. How many shopping days we got left? Let's not talk. I hate that. It makes me crazy. Nick asked me, let's talk about something nice. Nick had asked, because Nick in the chat, he's down in the Outer Banks. When we would go, this is before we had kids, so we could do whatever we wanted. Now we do whatever the kids want, which is go crazy. But we would, it was nothing for my wife and I to get in the car, and we just drive and drive. We had we were very fortunate that we had a pretty nice chunk of time in between getting married and having the kids. We really had a chance to really enjoy each other, enjoy the marriage. We got to do a lot of nice things. No complaints. These were both just good seasons of my life. But we would go down the Outer Banks and we'd take a tent and we would go down to Frisco. Is actually where we'd go, Nick. And if anybody wants to go pitch a tent and, you know, be within walking distance of the beach. There are several places on the Outer Banks. Frisco is the one that is it's the less, I don't know, man-made, I suppose. It's a little more natural. We pick out a nice little spot, kind of private, and pitch that tent. You can listen to the waves crash as you fall asleep at night, and pretty fantastic. And I remember it is a state park. It could be twice as much now, but back then, you know, 12, 13 years ago, it was like $16 a night to pitch that tent. I mean, it's probably twice as much now. I don't know, but, yeah, good times. We spent 2 or 3 days down there and, it's pretty fantastic.
I've never been there, but I've been to Myrtle Beach 3 times. I love it down there.
Okay. Yeah.
And, really the first time we were there it was in 2003. We took one of them bus trips. You know, they have local bus tours down there for like 5 days. And me and my wife went, and we were the youngest ones on the bus. to the blue hairs. Well, actually, there was another couple. The exact same age as us. But everybody else, you know, they're in their 70s or 80s. But this other couple we met, they were the same age as me. Like, his wife was 5 years older or 4 years, like my wife. And we've been friends ever since.
Okay.
And we drove down there. I drove down there twice after that. You know, we took the bus the first time. I like it. I mean, I like, you know,
Where'd you go?
Myrtle Beach.
Oh my gosh. This is a bus trip to Myrtle Beach. Of course, you know, right. I guess you are considerably closer to Myrtle Beach than I am.
Not that much closer.
You've already knocked 4 hours off a bus ride, which is probably about my limit.
It's about, I don't know, I probably, if I did it straight, probably like 10 hours. But, okay, you know, I mean, right. When we went 4 years ago, right before David got married, it rained the whole way down, the whole time there, the whole week we were there, a little less than a week.
Really?
And then on the way home, it was awful. Try to make it not during the rainy season, but you know, we're not beach people, so we like doing the shows they have, the Grand Ole Opry, Alabama Theater, and what's the other one, Dixieland Stampede, which I believe is owned by Dolly Parton.
Okay,
yeah, doing stuff like
you
that.
You see her down there?
No, you but I think that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I got a picture of her. Her and, well, they have this place called Legends or something, these impersonators.
Oh, is that right? Are you kidding?
Yeah, so it was Dolly Parton and what's his name? The English singer, Rod Stewart. So I got a picture with them on each side, but they're impersonators, but they look like them. Yeah, you know, people don't know. I said, look, I'm at these people, you know.
Bitch. You're awesome, dude. That's great. You know, I tell you what, the thing about Dolly Parton, I think it's kind of unfortunate because in everybody's mind, she's something of a caricature. But if you listen to sing, that woman could sing. And you know what? She could play the guitar too. You don't really know that, but she could play the guitar, and she had if you never ever saw her, you would think that she was, you know, extremely talented. But she, well, she got her deal going. I mean, she built that image of herself, and it sold.
Yeah, that Dixieland Stampede. I don't know if you know what it is. You ever?
I'm not familiar with what the Dixieland Stampede is.
It's like, they have something out here in Maryland. I forgot what it is. But it's like medieval times, or, well, the Dixieland Stampede is, they have this show, and it was like North against the South, and you're in this big theater, and they have, you know, horses, you know, it's a team, North against the, you know, South. So it's pretty cool. And this couple that we got real close with, you know, we went down on a bus.
A reenactment kind of thing?
So, okay, but they're taking audience participants. Okay. So my buddy, Lyndon J, they're come down on stage and they think they're going to get on a horse, right? So they get these horses out, and they're thinking they're going to get on a horse, but they brought them a broomstick. They got on a broomstick.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. See, and you get a meal with your dinner, but it's, you're eating it with your hands, you know, it's like, but it's fun. That's how it is. That medieval times is the same way.
Oh my gosh.
It's a tourist, so it's a tourist track.
Yeah. That's
fun.
So fun. You tell it well. It's very funny the way you tell it.
Well, it was, this couple asked that they got picked in the audience to come down and participate, and they think they're going to go on horses, but they gave them little broomsticks to ride, you know, like type horses. You know, it was funny. It was cool.
Well,
it's audience participants, you know, they're talking.
Yeah, and it's all heavily scripted, it's all heavily rehearsed.
Oh, yeah,
they know they're doing it, and it's meant to be all very funny, and of course they get these poor unsuspecting people out of the audience. And hilarity ensues, which is very much like listening to episode 11 of The Unbootables.
No, that was better. But no.
very similar. That was a setup. I don't think there was any accident there. I have my people working on it. So, yeah, just down the Outer Banks. I think that what led us there, I'm originally from near Dayton, Ohio, and so I've always been fascinated with the Wright brothers, and to get to go to Kitty Hawk and see where they had achieved flight, that's an amazing place to me. It's not like seeing many. I'm not sure how to describe it. I think that it's not like going. I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting in what's there to go look at. Much of it that is there that you spend your time with is stuff that's been built to honor it or to help you learn about it, to teach you about the flight. You know, it's interesting that the whole reason it happened there was just because the reason they did it there is not something that you would want to really even go and look at. I mean, the weather conditions are such, I mean, you're looking, there's like a hill, like way up there. So they at least could get like a start above ground once they got it going. And, it's a fascinating place. I remember being, that meaning a lot to me to get to go and see that. And there's a fantastic memorial at the top of that hill where they honored that.
So if you like that was the birth of aviation. Then next time.
No, I disagree. See, I'm from Ohio, so I believe the birth of aviation actually happened in Ohio. I believe that they just achieved the flight in North Carolina. I mean, we could go around and around that for a while. And I know that the two states have battled, you know, at least at the license plate level. as to who actually can claim rights to it. I suppose we could maybe agree, we could share it. At any rate, I mean, they were, it was pretty fascinating. I think that it's wonderful. The stories of Americans who have invented, these amazing things. They have achieved things that nobody would have thought was even possible, and they've done it out of their garage or their basement. And that's kind of who we are, Mitch. And I think our listeners, I think that, I don't know that any of us are the ones that are necessarily going to be the guys that hit the home run or hit the grand? Well, no, the people I know are hitting homers all the time. Are we going to be hitting the grand slam? Are we going to be the?
I'm a singles hitter.
What's that?
I'm a singles hitter.
You know what? I'm
not just kidding.
I'm still in the locker. I'm still in the locker room. Somebody fixed up my pants, and I'm having trouble getting them on. That's
yeah. I'm
that's
the last
where
one.
I am
last one to get picked on the team.
That's no.
So the fat guy. Well, I wasn't fat back then, but anyway. But I mean, what you're talking about, then you would love if you've ever vacationed in Florida, 50 miles south of Orlando, Cape Kennedy or Cape Canaveral, whatever they call it.
Been there, man. And, yeah.
You have done that. Did you see the shuttle?
I did.
I did too. I didn't see it take off, but I saw one on there and Discovery. I mean, that's to me, went there twice. It was fascinating. And they still have a Saturn V moon rocket.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was probably there when you were there. I mean,
I don't remember seeing you.
But. Okay. No, not me. I mean, the rocket, the Saturn V. I mean, I might look like a rocket. But it was fascinating when I went. We were there first time in 1984.
Yeah.
So that was really fascinating. Looking at that. But then, and we could see Discovery on a launching pad. But I think Steve D'Amico was lucky enough to see, one of the
was he really?
Yeah, he was down there when they had one of the launchings. That would be fascinating.
Wow, you know, one of my customers actually had she had a property down near there that from any one of the windows she's looking out. I mean, it was a Cocoa Beach, I think, is what she said. But she, you know, she's near the very near the beach. But you know, just looking out, she would, you know, off the distance, she would see that thing take off. That to me is That's just absolutely amazing. I'll tell you, I was there. Now I was there, I think, in 85 or 86, but I was a kid, mm-hmm. you know. So
right.
It definitely made a huge impression on me. What do I really remember of it? Not so much. I do remember, you know, I don't think there was actually a shuttle. There could have been a shuttle there, but I think they drove us out like to where, right out near the launch pad.
You're right. Exactly. They had a bus tour at the launch pad. It was like an extra fee. And they had Discovery was on a launching pad. But you know, when they move it from the, I forgot what they call the building, assembly building, whatever, they move it from there to the launching pad. It takes like a long time, whatever. But you see all the scaffolding. So it's hard to make out, you know, and, but I got pictures. I got to find the pictures. But, it was fascinating to me. I just wished I could have seen one take off, you know, one time when I was there. But we went back in 98. Then they had this, you know, they had a shuttle. I don't know if it was a real shuttle, but I think you could go in, or it was real close. It might have been a spoof shuttle, but it looked like the real deal. Could we go in that? I can't remember. But it's just, to me, that's fascinating.
I mean, just like
I'd rather go there than go on a ride at Disney World.
I think everybody reaches an age eventually where, it means more to go and see these things. You were there in 84, so you were there.
First time, yeah.
You were there before Challenger. I mean, you were there when everything was just, anything was possible.
Before the accidents,
I mean, that's technology, right? You know, you work out the bugs as you go. You don't know exactly what you're going to encounter. Of course, we could debate that. I suppose that there were with the O-rings and with the insulation later on, and so all these documents and people warned. I mean, let's not get involved in politics. Let's just all agree that the thing, it was an amazing thing that we did. It's sad that it's gone, but it's great that, you know, you got to go down to see that as a kid. I it's fantastic. My parents, of course, they took me to I was there to go to Disney World, but while we were there, you know, I'm appreciative of my parents' wisdom to go and take me to things that didn't mean much at the time. But, well, I mean, it did. It was awesome, but I couldn't quite grasp it. I mean, looking back, it's like, wow, just a fantastic thing. I don't know. What do you think, Chad? Isn't it kind of sad about our space program? I mean, on one hand, there's a lot that we have to look forward to, but I think it's sad that that mystery is gone. We don't have that, like, energy. That's, you know, I know growing up in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, that the space program, it was a real thing. We had real things that we'd accomplished not long ago. I mean, 1980, we were talking about, 69? So, you know, less than a decade, or a little bit more than a decade, it was like all these amazing things had happened. And it really felt like we could be having these flying cars. and we could, it felt like anything was possible and going to space. And, you know, doesn't it now, doesn't it kind of feel like if we wanted to make a space shuttle and send it off to wherever, doesn't it, it almost just doesn't even feel like it's possible. What do you think, Mitch? I feel sad. It makes me a little melancholy.
Well, you want to go to Mars? It's going to be a one-way ticket. You're not going to be able to return.
I don't know.
I think they're going to have entrepreneurs doing that, possibly.
You know what? I mean, I think somebody should go, but it's not going to be me. I'm a guy that I don't know. I think that I would have too much time to think about it. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do there? There's no, my couch isn't there. I do like my couch.
Very low internet speed too. Very low internet.
Yeah, this with broadcast would be an issue.
Here we get it like maybe like we'd be broadcast now 6 months they would get this show. I don't know. What do I know?
As far as a tech, I'm this is a good tech show for me because I'm fixing stuff that's already 7 years old. So I everything that I say is fresh many years later. Hey, what tech show can say that? Huh? You know what? I mean, there's a lot of like exciting stuff in the pipeline, I guess, but it's not a given. I mean, I don't know. Back in the 80s, man, they were launching those shuttles, and I just think it's fantastic that we once lived in a world where they would do that, where they would do this stuff constantly. It became commonplace. When we find when something happened and we did lose one of them, it was almost unthinkable.
What kind of computers did they have on the Apollos? I think they were like 486s or something, or maybe even less than that.
Goodness gracious.
Really small.
The Apollo missions.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that, but I never read up on it, but that's what I was told.
I can't tell you what the architecture was or any kind of label or any of this kind of stuff, but I remember being told I took some automotive classes in college, and probably some of the most worthwhile, invaluable classes that I took in college or ever. You learn to fix a car, you can pretty much fix anything. But that was back, I mean, even back in 90, it was 93, we were being told that at that point that the electronics and the logic systems in place were more advanced than what they had going to the moon, which, I mean, it was like, you know, 20-something years later. So I guess now, I guess it's not so hard to imagine, but at the same time, oh my gosh! I felt a lot of pressure. I have a lot of pressure on me. I have to fix this thing. It's more complicated than the thing going to the moon. But yeah, there wasn't much to them.
Sorry, somebody's looking it up for us. Tony's looking at. He's got the information for us there. I guess you can go there. Microprocessor. I remember in 69, I was 14, I believe. Yeah. When we went on the moon and, right at the landing, we were having thunderstorms. We lost our power for like, I don't know, 40 minutes, whatever, half hour, 40 minutes.
I'm sorry. Where
were you? 69, when we landed on the moon, we were having thunderstorms because it was in the summer, wasn't it?
Okay.
And yeah,
I'm sorry.
We weren't going to have thunderstorms in the winter, and we lost power. We couldn't see anything on TV. You know, I mean, we had no power for like a half hour, 45 minutes, and I remember I was pissed, really ticked.
Okay, all right. You know what? I was distracted by something in the chat, and then my mind got somewhere else. Not that they distract me. I allow myself to become distracted because I'm easily distractible. And my mind got over here. I got to think about something else, and then I'm hearing you. You were talking about going to the moon, and you lost power, and I was trying to figure out. See, to me, I didn't realize these were two separate things. Over here, they're going to the moon, and over here, you have no power. And then once I was like, oh, okay, these are two different things. And then you brought around that this actually was like this, these were related in that it was going to the moon, but you got screwed out of seeing some part of it on the television. Is that pretty much where?
But it was black and white anyway, so.
So it didn't matter.
We didn't have color.
They weren't sending color pictures.
Well, my parents were the last one to get a color TV. I mean, it was 1965. They were still using horse and buggy. But anyway, go ahead. No, just kidding.
Horse and buggy, and they were in black and white too, right?
Nah.
There's a lot of black and white horse and buggies out your way, isn't there?
Lancaster.
Yeah.
The Amish. You got them out there in Ohio too, don't you?
I'm not in Ohio. You know what? I don't think they get along. That Ohio River is a strategic boundary. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, there's different types. I mean, I watch Amish Mafia. And that's true. You got to watch out. You will learn a lot from watching Amish Mafia.
I don't think that I. Come on. What is that for real?
Nah, it can't be. I don't believe
it. I don't know. I've never seen it. It sounds like it's.
I watched it. They were at the York Fair, and I've been there. So I recognize it. So I know they were actually there, but I don't believe it for. I don't believe it for a heartbeat. But recently, the one of the Amish women that's on the show, she just got beat up. This was in the news by her boyfriend.
I did hear something. That's my only point of reference. That there was some recent. Terrible incident that.
Yeah, her boyfriend beat her up. Pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? Let's check.
I don't know if he was in the show. He might have been in the show. I can't remember. I don't know how portions of them might be. I don't know.
Let's change the subject. You know what? I think that says more about us as a society than it does about the Amish. I mean, the Amish are great. They go, they do their things. You know, it's a simple life. It's a very hard, it looks like a very hard life to me. But you know what? There is some beauty. There's a lot of beauty in the simplicity of it. And I think it's fantastic. You know, leave them alone. But what do? We bring them on and we make them do all these bad things, I guess. I don't know. I've never seen it. And it just sounds terrible. I don't know. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Leave them alone. Leave the poor people alone.
I got an idea. Have you fixed any computers this week?
No. Me either. I'm in that Amish area, and business is terrible.
Yeah. Actually, I'm supposed to get one. A lady at work, she was out of work for, excuse me, for like 2 months. She broke her leg or something. But she comes back Monday. Hey, Mitch, you think you can fix my laptop again? That's just sure, bring it in. So she keeps on forgetting to bring it in. So
really? What? Yeah. You know what? I get that all the time. People see me, and they know that I do this. And it's like, well, maybe they're at the kids' basketball game or at the mall. And it's never like somebody I know directly. It's always somebody that knows me. They're like, oh, hey, you're so, like, oh, my. And they start telling me how their computer's messed up. Okay. I just call me. And they want to go on and on about it. Okay, all right, this is what you do. You call me. Oh, okay, all right, it's been doing it forever. I can't afford it. I'm like, you begin to realize they're actually, all they want is just to spend your time telling you about it. I guess that makes them feel better. And you might see them a year later, and they will tell you the exact same story. And you think, well, you know, it's funny. It's like, we don't have to do it. You just, you know, it's like, A. Step A, you have a problem. Step B, you call me. Step C, you no longer have this problem. And it's bizarre. It's really bizarre to me. I can't imagine like walking into your doctor's office and just telling him about your problems and stuff, but then leaving. And he says, you know what, just stay. I'll help you out. And they go away. And then a year later, they come back, well, you know, I still have the CPAP thing and I can't breathe. And I sleep. And they're like, well, you just call it to make an appointment. You know, and the thing, and it blows, it's like a, it's like a leaf blower mounted above my bed, and you're like, what? people are bizarre. I mean, some people want it fixed; they will either bring it this and that. But it's, I don't understand people that have broken things, and they want to. It bothers them enough they actually want to tell you all about it, but not actually enough to actually fix it. Maybe they enjoy having broken things. I don't know.
There's this one guy at work, and I think I mentioned to you about him before. He would take advantage. He would pay me, you know, here and there or whatever. But I sold him a couple PCs before in the past, some older PCs. But he'll make a point to say, like, it's real slow now. It's like he's, like, throwing dings at me. And we had kind of fallen out, like, a year or two ago.
A chat room, in-laws don't count. Family, that's what family does. I'm talking about complete strangers. Right. No, I know. You're right. It's family, in-laws. But no, you're exactly right.
But he'll still pump me for information. Like, I had a falling out. I told him, don't call me anymore. Anyway,
You're not even on speaking terms. And then they
well, at work, we work together, so I had to speak a little bit. But he called me up. He called me last Friday. I didn't answer the phone. And then last Thursday night. So Friday, I didn't answer. So Friday in work.
No wonder you can't sleep.
This guy still uses he still uses Zip Disk.
Oh my gosh.
You remember Zip Disk?
Yeah.
What were they, 100? He still uses Zip Disk. So he wants to put it in this other machine he bought. He wants to know how to hook it up. I said, you're still using Zip Disk. You can buy a freaking 8 gigabyte, you know, thumb drive for $4. Why would you want to use, you know? Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, I said, just Google, man. Yeah.
Well, you know how you fix that? You plug it into 220. It needs that European, that European power. And that's how you fix things that you don't want to see again.
He came in. He works like once you through Saturday. So he come in today. Thank God he didn't say anything to me. I see him coming towards me. I turn my Ford truck around, go the other way as fast as I can. I'll try to hide down the aisle. Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you what, I'm having trouble finding it. We kind of got on the space thing a little bit. Chad, if you could help me out, I'm not finding it right away. Anybody watches Conan O'Brien? There was a guy, it was an astronaut. I think he was on there like the last couple of weeks. I wish I could have, of course, I had no idea we were going on the space thing, but he was on the in the space station for a very long time. I don't know, a series of months, but he was showing video that he had taken. I'm certain I saw it on Conan O'Brien week or two, and it was absolutely fantastic. Some of he talked about how they orbited the Earth. I think 60 something times. Day, if that's right, it's terrible. I wish I had prepared it, but he had images of the Earth from a perspective or an angle that I'd never seen before. Almost as if you were looking out the windshield of your car and just watching the Earth spin, almost as the way the road kind of comes to you.
Just how to feel?
Maybe so. Yeah. Where do you?
I found an interview with astronaut Chris Hatfield.
Can you punch that?
I'm a front.
Can you punch that in chat for me?
Yeah. See, is this who you're talking about? It's in the Google, the Panos chat there.
Okay. That is him. That's him. And yeah. I'll tell you what. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Because, like, they had his kid, like, rewrote the lyrics to David Bowie's song, Space Oddity. And he, like, made a music video in the, in there. That was one of the things. But what really got me. He's got a book out, of course. Man, if you get hands on those images or just what he showed from on the show, I just never seen. Wait a minute. Yeah, I think this is. Oh man, I think this is it, buddy. There is a link. If you scroll all the way down there, Mitch, we can actually.
I can't play it.
No.
I can't play it because we're not on Google.
These are still images, but. Go ahead. If you want to.
They're not going to hear it. The door won't hear it the way we're recording. So. It won't pick up on me, so I'm not going to do
it. Anyway,
on Google Plus, we can't play it. I mean, on Google.
The link I'm at. Anyway, anybody that wants, I don't know if we have a place we could throw links up at. Well, it's show notes, right? But Chris Hatfield, I'll have to. We'll do that. In the show notes, I have to find those images, the video that he had. I'll tell you.
Post it on that the text file in there. Then.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll make sure that's in the show notes, folks. The images that he had, just I'd never quite seen the Earth from that perspective, and the way it was kind of like spinning toward you, almost the way the road kind of comes at you. You drive your car, but around. I'll tell you what, I almost can't describe it. Around the edge of the Earth, there was this glow of almost an aura of it was the Northern Lights. I tell you, I got
the pictures.
Do you really?
Yeah, here. Yeah, here you go. Because
I'm really bad with this like Google thing. I don't know how to do it. Look at you. You're like
it was down on the bottom, like you said.
I can't talk. No, well, you know what? That's one of. Yeah, well, that's what I was looking at.
It's got 30 of
that's,
them.
That's I'm not seeing. I think it was actually video. It was actually video that they showed.
Well, this I don't.
But that isn't that image fantastic?
Yeah.
I have to find that video. I was almost moved to tears. What I saw, it was just. Amazing. It was so beautiful. Yeah, it was overpowering. It was stunning. So, you got talking about space, and I kind of even forgot about that guy on there, but it was great to listen to him. It was so fantastic. He talked about how what it's like to live in space. He can have it. I don't want that. If I, one day of that, somebody, I'm not paying for that adventure. But to go to Mars, forget it. All that work and my couch isn't even there. But it was pretty, fantastic the way the things he talked about and what it takes to live in space. Anyway, you want to do some more of this? I'm kind of bored talking about space now.
No, because
I've talked about everything that I know about space. Basically, we don't do enough of it, and everything in the past was better, and well, we might as well just give up. So I'm a crotchety old man.
I'm the crotchety old man, and I got the crotch to prove it. But anyway,
that's the other show.
To bring it down to Earth a little bit, I went to Micro Center last Saturday, returned this that power line adapter.
Yeah, buddy.
So,
because the speeds weren't quite what you'd expect.
Yeah, it knocked it down. I mean, it was working, but, I'm getting 50 plus down. And when I hooked it up with that, it dropped it down to 50 something, like 10, which might be good to some people, but that's too big of a drop.
Right.
I just went and I bought like a off-brand USB wireless adapter it's going to be for my sister.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking around. I'm looking at tablets. They have this cheap tablet. It was like an Android tablet. It was like $40 and $20 off with this coupon if you had it emailed to you. And I go online. It must have 50 people online getting this terrible, real low-end tablet. I can't remember the name of it. So it took me a half hour to get through the register just to pay for my two things that I bought. But all these people were buying these this low-end Android tablet. I think it was called an Aspen, A-Z-P-E-N or something. I don't know. But it was just really slow. And
yes.
The pixel was low.
Buying it or returning it?
Yeah. No, buying them. They're buying them. And because they have these coupons. I don't get coupons from Micro Center because I live too far. But evidently, if you live in a certain radius, because I'm on their mailing list, but I don't get any coupons.
Yeah.
So they had it $20 off on this $40 tab. So it was $20. Yeah, it might be worth it for $20, but it was awful. I mean, it was too slow. I was reading some of the reviews on it and said, yeah, it works, but it's like I'm in slow motion. So I'm not going to, waste my money.
This community, especially in Podnuts, I would imagine that there is something that you could do specifically with a $20 tablet that would be, awesome. Like for $20, you can get it to do that. Like very specific and unique in what it does. But to actually say, hey, here's a tablet to use. I imagine that you would almost rather just throw your $20 into, and I always felt a little bit bad about this, but my daughter, this is before I had a smartphone. I was very kind of slow to get into the whole Android thing only because I didn't know anybody that was doing it. I didn't have a smartphone and, I actually listened to Android App Addicts for, couple years just because
you didn't have one episode 11 the have we met
yeah
you,
that's right
you didn't have one.
Yeah
it was one of the questions
they, yep. yeah I mean I they thought I was calling from a cave somewhere I had the beard for it I believe I looked like I was on the lamb
I did do some embellishing. I embellished a little bit. He's got a beard down to the ground. It wasn't quite like that,
but it was a little out of control. Give me a little bit of leeway here, a little slack, just because it was early to mid March, so I was getting like toward the end of the whole winter beard thing. So it had a lot of time to kind of grow out and take on a personality of its own. So it probably was pretty long. I did not get a smartphone just because I don't get things until the things I have are just worn out. It's just kind of my nature. If I have something, it's working.
It's a smart way.
I'm not. Well, it's not even a decision. That's the way I was built, and that's the way I was raised. I can't change it. And so there's new things in the world. People enjoy going. I love watching people go get new things and tinker with them. I'm satisfied knowing that the thing I have, it works. When it stops working, I'll go get the thing that was new. And if I have a problem with it, usually most of the bugs are pretty well worked out. I live a very simple, satisfied life. And
it's
so,
like me, right? Like right now, I have three computers running.
Yeah.
To my left, my laptop, laptop is an i3. You're on my Dell i5. Yeah. To hang out, yeah. And I'm streaming it on my i7.
Yeah.
So I got three of them right here, and then I have a Core 2 quad over.
It's like a.
I haven't even mentioned what I have upstairs. Well, it's
behind the white door. It's like an i9. It just keeps going.
And they're not even out yet. Not have one of those.
It's a testing.
No, not quite. You're right. You don't need all that stuff. And
I mean,
my parents, they were like that, but I don't know. I'm just the opposite. I don't know.
I draw a line between, I mean, if it's something I need, well, I go get it. If it's something I want, I go get it. But I think everybody, if you have the things you need and there's some money left over and yet there's things you want, go get them. Enjoy your life. You work hard, spend your money, get things that you enjoy. Don't buy things that you're not going to enjoy just because other people think you should have them.
Look, I didn't need to get this Samsung mic like yours because my Audio Technica ATR2100 is working fine, but I wanted it. It really wasn't that much money. I didn't need this. I didn't need the Chromecast. But I got it, and I don't use it.
For the audio listeners, the microphone that Mitch was just holding up was covered in rhinestones. Just in case you didn't see that. But no. I mean, look, I have no problem with it. If you want things, go get them. I'm just the guy that doesn't really want a whole lot, and I'm pretty happy just kind of doing what I do. But when it did come time to get a phone, well, I gotta get a phone. So I got the Android phone. But anyway, a long story. Oh my gosh, I don't know how we got here. My daughter, like, this was in March, and so it was Christmas before that. She was gonna go buy a tablet. Well, I literally knew nothing about tablets, what they were, what they did. I mean, I knew that, but I never used one. I could have picked it up and turned it on. And so she had Christmas money. She went and bought one, and, you know, I was like really, really like excited for her. I thought it was just so cool. She wanted this thing. She bought it. And she was figuring it out. It had Android. I don't know whatever it was at the time. And but it wasn't until I got my phone that I'm looking at it and I'm looking at hers and I'm like, wow, this is like, these people are dirtbags because I don't know where she bought it. Obviously, a kid, and to me at the time, I didn't know anything about them. A tablet's a tablet. I mean, obviously, you're going to assume that there are slight differences in build quality and whatever, but I was really disappointed in. I should know that there's going to be differences in the tech. You're going to pay less, you're not going to get as much. You're going to pay more. Exactly. You know what? If you pay a little bit less, you'll get a little bit less. If you pay a little bit more, you get a little bit more. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. If you pay a little bit more, you will probably get a lot more. If you're paying if you're trying to pinch a penny, you'll really be sorry. You may not know it. If you pay a lot,
you get what you pay
for. If you pay way, way, way a lot more, that's where you start getting 99.6, 99.7. I mean, it's incremental. You can spend a lot of money just incrementally get a little bit better. But when I finally did pick it up and use it after using my phone, I was really, really, I felt like my daughter had been cheated by the company that built these because, first of all, it was awfully, awfully slow. It was terrible. It was like buying, a very cheap computer desktop from a very cheap place. And it was slow. It was awful. But, you know, I was very disappointed. And this is one thing about, and maybe I don't fully understand how all this works, but I was very, very disappointed that she bought a device. I don't know that there's anybody really to blame here other than me as the consumer, but I was disappointed that she bought a device running the Android operating system, but it was not an authorized Google device, and so she could not download anything from the Play Store. Now, I mean, I don't know if that's still a situation or if.
Good question.
This was a device that, hey, it's like Android operating system's out there and you can use it. We make these things cheap. You put it on there, bam, you sell it. I feel that if you get one of these, I feel that you really are entitled to the Google Play Store, and there should be some controls over that. That if you buy something, it should be very, very obvious that obvious in the marketing that
that's a good point, because I never even thought about that. I would assume that if you have a Google device, you're gonna be able
to get anything from
the Play Store.
I'm not sure what the legalities were or if things have changed now. I mean, with the chat, not the chat, not having, but so there were applications that I wanted and, so I go to Play Store and you get a Play Store. It says, hey, your device is, compatible or, if for whatever reason it's not, it would say, well, you can't download it. But every single thing that you would try and download from the Play Store, it would say, you know, it wouldn't let you do it. And so
you could probably get the APK itself.
Well, and that's the thing, but the thing is that at the time, you know, if we didn't know enough to shop between the devices, I promise you we did not know enough to sideload applications. Right. You know what I mean? And so, well, Daddy quickly figured out how to sideload applications. However, Daddy was very upset when he finally got it running for the kid who spent her money. She was like a fourth grader. You know, she's a little kid. And so it's running and she's like, this device truly was almost unusable. It was, I really didn't mean to get off on that whole thing. I think there is an awful lot of good to say about the Android operating system, but I was surprised that there, anyway, I don't know. Maybe that's changed now.
Speaking of, I finally rooted my phone again.
Did you?
To get wireless tethering.
Sure.
And the same app that I always used. And it worked before. It's like I got it to work one time. It just doesn't work like it did before.
Not as well or what? What do you mean? I don't understand. It doesn't work.
I don't know if you use it. Is that the one you use?
Yes, it is.
And you got the same phone as me, I think. Or did you get the Max?
Is that just the Razor?
Yeah, the plain Razor.
So the Razor and the Razor Max, the only difference is the battery and basically the back of it. It is essentially exactly the same.
It won't. I mean, I'm just playing with the settings, mm-hmm. and one time I got it to work, but reboot it and
Was
I
it just tried flaky it, or just doesn't?
It just says it's on, but it's not on. It's not doing anything.
Really?
Yeah. And I got a version from a website that Dor told me. That's the one I did get working, but not. I haven't played it too much since.
I've
changed all these settings.
Don't you want to say what it is?
Say what do you mean?
Well, you went around and around the actual name of the application.
Wireless tether. That's what it's called. That's Wi-Fi tether.
And it's right. I mean, it's been around forever, and
and it normally works really well.
It strikes me as one of those applications that you know was made like 30 years ago and it hasn't been updated mm-hmm. since, but it just works perfectly. And I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course, but you know what? I don't know. My phone was rooted. I installed it and I've never, ever had a problem with it. So,
I used it before and then I wanted to redo the phone and set it back to factory, which was about, I don't know, 6 to 8 months ago.
Okay.
And I haven't bothered messing with it since. So I said, I'll root it again. I did it Friday night or Saturday, when it was Saturday. And then I'm trying, I got the Wi-Fi tethering. It was on the Google Play.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it to work at all. And then Dor told me, try the one, from this website. And actually, that's when I did get working one time, but I haven't messed with it too much since.
I don't know if, like I said, I've done only enough with this stuff that I can do what I have done with mine well. Obviously, if I run it, like you're talking about, I don't know, somebody who knows a lot more about this will say, aha, but I have two of those Razors. It's not the Max. I have two of those Razors here that I rooted both of those. They have cracked screens, but I ended up installing the, I'm still just playing around with them, but I mean, I did the factory just out of the box state. I did the factory reset and I think I rooted it immediately. And then
I lost it when I did a factory reset.
Yeah, and I know. And so that's what I was going to say. But I rooted immediately and I installed the OTA root Keeper.
Right.
Something like
that. Over-the-air update. The over-the-air update.
I installed that first, but I don't know, you protect the router.
That didn't work for me.
There was something going on there, but I did that, and then I installed that was the very first thing. Rooted it, or after reset it, root it, protect that root, whatever, however the wording is, and then, bam, I installed all the updates. I mean, before I installed anything else, it was all update. Then I installed the applications that I wanted. I have no problem. So I don't know, maybe Android people out there, is it possible that there is an ideal order in which you do these things, that if you use the phone for 6 months and all this stuff, and then you decide to root it, is it possible that there's something that if things didn't go in the ideal order
I wouldn't think so. I don't want to install. I don't have a ton of stuff on here at all.
Just really. Go get insurance on it.
Oh no, mine's up in May.
That's a long time. I mean, you could get insurance on tomorrow. Maybe it falls off a truck next. Maybe it gets run over by a tow motor next week.
I mean, the thing's a year and a half old. I can still get insurance on it. At that, I don't know.
Mitch,
I don't know what's going to happen. I bought a candy bar at a machine. It was 90 cents. I put a dollar in, and there was 20 cents I got back. I took the 10 cents to the girl in the office.
Did you really?
I'll
tell you what, dude.
She told me to keep it.
You're the bomb. You know, we need more people like you.
No, I don't know about that. But, like, see, my contract's up in May, and I don't know. Like, see, my wife's not working anymore.
Yeah,
money's kind of tight, and I don't know if I'm going to – I can just continue on going with this. But, you know, like – you're fine with old stuff. You know, I'd like to get an HTC One. I would like to try that, but I'm going to lose if I get it through Verizon. I'm going to lose my, I have unlimited, I'm grandfathered in to the unlimited data.
Yeah.
But the only way I can keep that, if I buy it outright,
I see.
Buy a phone outright or continue with this one. But if I get something from them, you know, either a 2-year contract deal or they have another thing called Edge. Mm-hmm. Where you pay monthly installments on the phone itself, and after 2 years, no, I think after a year or 6 months, you can update again. But then that's going to add another. See, I get it 17% off from where I work, but dude, I'm going to lose all that. So I don't know. I might just get rid of it and get one of those $8 a month
track phone,
Virgin Mobile, track phone or Virgin Mobile. That's what I had before this. I had to get a card every 90 days, a $20 card every 90 days.
You know what?
Anybody listening,
if you've made it to this point, roll back about a minute and a half and listen to everything Mitch just said again. And I want you to take note. Everything he just says, should anybody need to know all of that to do anything? I mean, honestly, everything that you just described, all the terms, all the phraseology, all the ins and outs of this, and if do this and that, you know, honestly, it sounds like you were doing brain surgery. Do we need this? It's a game. Anything that is sold this way is a complete game. Take the thing, put it on the shelf, and sell it to me. I don't need you changing the rules every 3 years because you found some little way, you know. Oh, I know. The consumer got ahead of us. The consumer figured out how to get over on us. So we're going to change the rules, and we're going to call it something else, but we're going to really trump it up, and they're going to market it and say, hey, this is something better for you, when it's not. It's something that's worse for you because they have found a new way to look, really turn the screws on you. And after about 3 years, the consumer kind of figures it out, and they say they have to find some new way to really put it to you. And that's what you just said. You just went through this long whole thing of this and that. You know what? It's ridiculous. It's insanity. Give me the, I want that one. I want to go in there. I want to point at that one. That's what's going to go in my hand. It has buttons on it. And I'm going to point over there. I want that one. And that's what I need to make it work. Kind of like, I want that car, and I'm going to go over there and get that gas.
I don't want my payment to change, and it's going to change.
It should be simple. It should be simple.
It's going to be more money. And I don't,
this thing of the cell phones and the contracts, it's absolute insanity. When you look, honestly, if you listen to everything you just said before I kind of went on this little thing, nobody should need to know any of that or have to make any of that kind of decision to do anything except maybe be buried, because that's kind of important and you want it done just a certain way. But honestly,
unless you're going to be cremated like myself, but go ahead.
This is something you do every 2 years, like at the most. Or I mean, at the least. Maybe you do it more often. You know what? If you go get a complete physical with blood drawn from your doctor, it's not this complicated. It's absolute insanity. It really is. I'm a guy. I like figuring things out. I don't mind spending some time to understand something that I'm not familiar with. But everybody has a cell phone. Everybody needs a data plan. It should not be this ridiculous, complicated shell game. It's absolute insanity.
It is. It is confusing. And, but I know I won't. I'm not going to. I only pay $67 a month, and I know I won't be paying that if I upgrade. It will be more, so I don't know what to do. And unless somebody wants to give, you know, donations, no, just kidding. Just kidding.
What do you use your phone for?
Nothing.
Well, then,
I hardly ever use it as a phone. I'll text with it, and I guess
that's my question. If you're just, obviously, if you have a phone, but it's used for all of these other things except actually using it as a phone.
Exactly.
Then a track phone is not going to be the way you want to go, burner, drug dealer burner.
No, you get T-Mobile. They have some of those cheap ones, but they're going to be low-end Androids or whatever. And, I don't want to go backwards. You know, I could probably get away with like $40 or $50 a month, but I don't want to go back. I mean, get a less phone than this.
Yeah.
It's like I'm dumbing myself down. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, that we've talked about this before, that Razer phone of yours, it has just an awful camera.
It does. You know what? But Dora told me, and this has helped. I don't use the flash anymore. Okay. As long as I don't use, because the flash was washing everything out.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll just play around with the exposure
okay.
a little bit. And then it's been all right. Decent anyway. Decent. But the thing is, it doesn't remember. I have to go in there every time and turn the flash off. And at least the one app I got. Because it doesn't, I'll turn it off. But I go back in there again. It's on. I got to turn it off. So it is a little bit better.
Yeah. And I tell you, I really do think it's on the software end because I have managed to get. some actually pretty fantastic pictures, but it's not, that's one thing I will say about the iPhone. You pick it up, you press a button, it takes stunning pictures. At least the iPhone 4s that I've played around with. These phones that we have, I have managed to kind of play around with it and tinker with it. And really where I was going with this was that one thing I really do like about the whole Android deal is just the integration with the Google and the Google Plus. And I'm always excited. Yeah. What are you showing?
My puppy with bows in her head, my wife. Now, she took that with her Nexus 7. That does take a little bit better pictures than this.
Okay. Okay. One thing I do like about the Google and my Android phone and everything is that I don't even understand all the integration. I don't know what all it does. I always kind of find like a nice little surprise when I'm like, oh wow, look at that. You know, this thing over here knows that because it came from over there and they just kind of had it worked out ahead of time. I don't really know all the time that if I do this, they'll be like, you know, bam, it'll go over there. But I am kind of starting to find where I know that if I take this picture, this will happen and I can go over here to this computer and there it is. I can do with it. But I'll tell you, the thing that I love so much is that I'll take, with this terrible camera, this terrible phone, take these terrible pictures. I'm in the habit, and I always have been, with digital cameras. I believe, just take, I know people don't get this, but I'm like, just take 200 pictures. Who cares? You know, because out of all those, you will get one that's stunning.
Exactly. One will be decent
and,
for sure.
And old people won't do that. They'll take one picture. Because they don't want to use it up, right?
It's not like it's
not film.
Not like film.
It's like film.
Yeah.
No, they'll take one picture. Your head's cut off. It's at an angle. I mean, you couldn't possibly shop your way out of this one. They'll take one. I'm like, take 50. You can delete them. Whatever. I'm like, honestly, if you took a picture every 30 seconds for the rest of your life, you won't fill this card. They'll take one picture. And so, but I've always kind of been, I've taken a lot. Of course, I'll tell you, the first digital camera that I had, I should save this for another show. The first digital camera that I used actually took a 3.5 inch floppy.
What?
That's 3.5? Yeah, 3.5. That was like the little hard with the little hard kit, not like the 5 1/4, right? That was the next one. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a Sony, and it took a it was awful. Really? Yeah, it was really something. But no, I am in this habit of taking just a series of pictures. I'll take 30 or 40 in a row, and I'm always so excited when I see an auto awesome. You ever get an auto awesome?
I don't explain that on here. You can do it off camera. I don't want to.
All right. I'll leave that to the chat.
I think we're getting down to
yeah, I mean, this thing, yeah, this was just a BS fest.
It was interesting.
And actually everything that I quickly threw together that was going to be awful, but it was going to fill time, we didn't even get to. So this was great.
It was interesting.
This is a show.
You taught me some.
This is one of the shows, even if Martin's not on it, this is a show that I might actually listen to again someday. Auto Awesome. If you don't know what Auto Awesome is, I know that somebody around here does, and
it's the opposite of photobombing. No, just kidding.
It's, you know what? it literally, everything that I complain about the cell phones, complain about this, I complain about space programming. This thing literally is, it's automatic and it's awesome. And I'll tell you what, I'll pick out a couple of really, really good ones. I'll bring in the show next week.
Ooh,
yeah. And it's not altogether inappropriate. Anyway, folks, you've been listening to episode 94 of the Geeksters. Thank goodness that we came on. We saved the day. We want you to get better, Martin, but God forbid we miss a show and we don't get episode 100 in before the end of the year, because I know he's going to die if that didn't happen. So anyway, Mitch, where can we find you, buddy? Where can our listeners find you if they need you, my man?
Yeah, you can find us. You can find me on Google+. Just search my name, Mitch Haman. Actually, and that probably would be the best place, because you can message me right from there.
There you go. Folks, I am Tim Bauermeister. You can find me. What?
You didn't.
Okay. I'm still Tim Bauermeister. I am in like Tim in the Podnuts forums. I am Tim Bauermeister on the G+, or you can email me. I am tim@realpcrepair.com. Thanks for coming out, listening to us, folks. Always appreciate you guys in the chat room. You're awesome. And anybody that's listening, you watch, send us the emails, the calls. I don't know what it is.
Voicemail.
What's the number, Mitch Meister?
706-POD-NUT.
706-POD-NUT. Really? P-O-D-N-U-T? That's not enough numbers. You know what? That's actually a really good point. Please.
They did change it here.
Please send all of your complaints, too.
I got it. That's right. 706-POD-NUT. I'm sorry. 706.
Complaint.
707-6-POD-NUT. Here. I said it right
there. Did I just hear a niner?
No. 707-6-POD-NUT.
707.
6.
6.
Pod-NUT. It's,
pod there you nut. Go.
Nosy in here.
That's it. Call up. Call up the operator at the other end of your party line and send them to 707.
Yeah, call that and reference the Geeksters, please, because we have not had a voicemail in a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the voicemails, the emails, send them, because Martin will be back next week and he can read them and actually, you know, make a show out of this thing. We really appreciate
it. Geeksters at podnuts.com.
Podnuts.com.
Geeksters at podnuts.
And we usually do this thing on Tuesdays right around 6:30, 6:45, whatever it is. A little late this week. It's a Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate you. Mitch, have a great fiscal week. Martin, hope you get better. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.